This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
Welcome to another episode of Best Show Bests, the greatest hits of the best show, with me, your host, Tom Sharpling. If you like what you hear, make sure you join us every Tuesday night on Twitch at 6 p.m. Pacific for a brand new episode of the Best Show featuring callers, celebrity guests, live music, and plenty of surprises. Enjoy!
Ahoy.
There was a trash can fire literally at the end of this block as I was parking.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that happens in Los Angeles.
you'll probably see it as
people
we're
like
up.
To set garbage cans on fire.
Yeah.
That used to happen in my old neighborhood all the time.
Oh, fun.
Would be in Thai Town. Well, now they're taking care of it. Look, yeah. There's the fire truck. Well, I should say welcome to the second episode of Ahoy.
Yes.
The fish sandwich review podcast. My name is Tom Sharpling, and I'm here with my co-host, Harry Walliner.
Yeah. Happy to be back.
Is it funny when people say Walliner or Wolliner? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I've gotten
a variety of mispronunciations. I've gotten Walliner. Mm-hmm. Well, Walliner is how you say it. I've gotten Wolliner. I've gotten Wallenliner. Someone just added a second.
They had
entire
Liner.
Syllable.
Yeah.
I've gotten Wallander. I've gotten Wallinger.
Uh huh.
There was a guy at the Vons in Los Feliz that called me Mr. Wolverine.
Well, you probably like that though.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you kind of are Mr. Wolverine in a way. Now, Wolverine who's your favorite Marvel character of all? Other than Moon Knight, which
I think
has been well established.
Iceman's my favorite X-Man.
Iceman is your favorite X-Man.
Yeah.
Okay. How about outside the realm of X-Men?
I'm trying to think. Yeah, I'm so like, I've spent so many years just so focused on Moon Knight that I sometimes don't like come up with like a favorite.
Sure.
Of another variety. Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorites of your own?
Yeah, I do. Let me just say, we were going to go to, we mentioned at the end of the last episode that we'd do Burger King next, but I think we're going to do Arby's tonight because we're in the neighborhood of the Arby's on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah, it's sort of the one lone Arby's in LA still.
And it's the Arby's that people love Arby's, or certain people love Arby's. What's this line?
Whoa.
Dream catcher. What's that?
I don't know. That's a crazy line for the
podium. Yeah, look at this. I see a slightly gothy vibe to the look. Jeez, all the way around the block.
Holy cow.
We should just jump out at the front of the line.
Yeah.
Just say, we're here for dream catcher.
Yeah.
Just cut the line. I like, in terms of Marvel characters, my favorite was always, I think, Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
Just always was appealing to me.
Okay.
Just a guy walking around the village in New York. And you grow up on the East Coast, you're just kind of like, I've seen where he lives.
Yeah.
What's the last time you were at Arby's, Harry?
It's probably like over a year ago. Because I don't live near here anymore, I don't really have the time or neat. Actually, you know what? I did go recently when they had like a ghost pepper sandwich, and I was like, I'm always fascinated with spicy fast food sandwiches because a lot of the times it sort of under delivers.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had like the Angry Whopper like when I was in college, and it was pretty lackluster.
Sure.
So I just try to, I always try to at least have one once, and it, the Arby's sandwich was pretty good. It was pretty spicy.
Okay. So it delivered on the ghost pepper.
Yeah, whatever
came through for you. All right, let's see what we're doing here.
There you go.
Fish sandwiches. Look at the right on the board.
Whenever you're ready to order.
Okay, I think we need just 1 second.
No problem. Take your time. Let me know when you're ready. Thank you.
Thank you. They have a standard crispy fish or the King's Hawaiian Fish Deluxe.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
I feel like to keep it even, I would just go with the regular crispy fish.
You'll go with the crispy fish?
Yeah.
I should probably do the same, right? Okay. We should have a uniform thing here.
Although the deluxe one does have cheese, like the fish filet, so that's confusing.
Why don't we just go for the fish deluxe then? We'll just go for that.
Yeah, why not?
And, all right. What, are you going to get curly fries?
I'll get the curly fries.
You get the combo? Okay. Yeah.
All right. With a Coke.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think, do we tell her that?
Oh, that might make sense. I'm new at this. I've only eaten fast food 8 million times. I think I'm ready.
Go ahead.
Can we get 2 fish deluxe meals, please? What? I'm okay with like a medium.
Yeah.
Okay, so both of them medium combo, sir?
Yeah, for the fish deluxe. Can I get, do you have Diet Dr. Pepper?
No, regular.
Okay, then can I get a Diet Coke for one of them?
Diet Coke for one, and then what's the other one?
I'll do a Coke.
A regular Coke for the other one.
Regular Coke for the meal. Got it. What up, y'all? Oh, you said iced tea, right?
Oh, no, not iced tea.
Okay, so you want a diet and what else?
A Diet Coke and a Coke.
Diet Coke and a Coke, got it. Well, love you all.
Yeah, that's it. Just the two sandwich meals.
All right. Curly fries, you say yes, right?
Curly fries?
Yes.
Yes, please. Curly fries would be great.
$26.92.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You sure we got that right? She said $6.92. Did she say $6.92?
$26.92?
$20. Oh, leaks.
Yeah, I think it's like a lot. Yeah, I can get this one.
Stop it.
Are you sure?
Of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They're going to charge you for this? Hey, how? Great.
Thank you.
We just want to make sure which drink is which, sure. I guess. Yeah.
Did you eat Arby's as a kid?
No, I don't think they had many, if any, yet in New York.
Okay.
I was a big, I've always been sort of a Wendy's guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then back east, it would be more White Castle.
Oh, my God, I miss White Castle.
Yeah.
Thanks.
The lids are marked, but I'll tell you what they are.
Sure, sure.
Just in case you make some flavor, that's the diet.
That's the diet.
Okay, that's yours.
All right.
You mix it up.
Awesome, thank you. I'll take some horseradish.
Horseradish would be great. Yeah, thanks. Oh, did you want anything? I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm so rude. The engineer, the producer of the show, who chooses to be unidentified. Mint chocolate shake. It looks good.
Yeah.
Those Andes candies. That's like old people candy.
Oh, yeah. Is that the stuff they put on like a hotel pillow?
Yes.
Yeah. I think we talked about this last episode. I'm not a big mint and chocolate guy. But funny enough, I was at a comedy show for a friend of ours.
Sorry?
Oh. Yes, please.
Yes, that'd be great. Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
You too. Thanks.
Our friend Lindsay does a comedy show that's also a cooking thing.
Okay.
And it was on St. Patrick's Day. So she did like a mint chocolate or a mint frosting with a chocolate cupcake.
Mm-hmm.
And it was honestly pretty good. Like, I was okay with the combination.
So it was one of the few mint related things you've enjoyed.
Yeah, I think because it wasn't like super overpowering. Mm-hmm. It was more so just the chocolatey cupcake.
Yeah, with a little hint of mint.
Yeah.
Let's find somewhere to park. This parking lot is always weirdly hard to navigate. Not as if I'm navigating it all the time. Makes it sound like I eat here constantly, but it's it's kind of you get out of the drive through and then they just bounce you right onto Sunset Boulevard.
It is a very small parking lot.
Yeah.
Every time I go there, I feel like it's definitely like 95% just like stoned teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I get it. I mean, the pay for fast food restaurants is not great unless you're a teenage kid who needs some extra cash.
Yeah, I don't know. Hopefully they pay people more so adults can actually get a working. Murder Mystery 2. They're back, Harry.
Oh, boy.
Sandler, Aniston. Do or die. Or die, which is two in French. I don't know if you.
Yeah.
Very interesting. And then, because we're across from the Netflix building.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Luther. Idris Elba reprising his role as Luther
from
BBC TV. Everybody never watched it. Never watched it.
I've only heard of it. I never got into it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm like, isn't it enough I know of it? I didn't watch it, though.
Yeah.
So in retrospect, reflecting, we had your first fish sandwich in a long while.
Yeah.
With the McDonald's one, what are your thoughts after a few days of reflection? Anything?
I mean, I think I'm still like, I think having low expectations really helped.
Okay.
Because I'm just like, I never knew what to think of it other than like, oh, this is probably the last thing I would order.
Mm-hmm.
So by it actually being pretty decent, I think I was pleasantly surprised.
Sure, because again, you would order a chicken sandwich.
Yeah, usually.
Some sort of chicken sandwich, yeah.
That's my... Yeah.
Should we just go in this Home Depot parking lot? Let's go in the Home Depot parking lot. Kind of makes sense. Yeah. When was the first time you came to Los Angeles, Harry?
Oh, I mean, my parents have told me, I think, that we came when I was super little. But the first time I can remember was like, I feel like when I was around 15.
Okay.
Wasn't for the greatest reasons. It was my dad's youngest sister had brain cancer, so I had to like come visit her and her family because I like, you know, how many more times was I gonna see her?
Well, that's unfortunate circumstances. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was tough, especially for my dad.
That's rough.
I never really had the chance to come out before that or anything. And then obviously when Jason moved out here, it sort of made it more likely. And then I think I came out, I didn't come out again until my 20th birthday, I think it was.
Okay.
I came out because Jason got us tickets to the, Weird Al was doing like a, thank you. Weird Al was doing like an exhibit at the Orange County Super Fair.
I remember that. It was like a
Al's
weird
brain in 3D.
That's right. It was like a high tech kind of crazy show.
Yeah.
And did you you went to the show? You didn't meet Weird Al though.
No. So I like we got to go to the preview, and then we're there. We got like the VIP like badges, and then we're literally walking in to the exhibit. And we see Weird Al just sort of signing people's like badges and pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
And literally he looks up, sees Jason, and stops what he's doing to talk to him. And me being like a 20-year-old kid who kind of hadn't been in LA yet, I was sort of amazed that one of my like musical idols stopped to talk to my brother. Yeah. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, that he knew.
Yeah.
Jason, that must have been exciting.
Yeah.
Is Weird who's one of the first famous people you met?
Oh man.
But you met Weird Al that day? Mm-hmm. Did he okay.
Yeah, so cool. We talked. I have a picture with him.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to the exhibit. I'm trying to, the first famous person I ever met. I'm trying to think. I feel like my brain wouldn't remember that far back, but I'll have to think about it.
Sure.
Do you know who yours was?
That's a good question. See, you turned it right on me. I don't know. It might have been like famous to me would have probably been, I met a couple of guys from REM when I was in high school.
Okay.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I met them. I was probably 15 or 16. So that would have been pretty early in the scheme of things.
Yeah.
To meet, like, some people I truly admired.
Yeah.
Right, let's see. Fish Deluxe.
Yeah. Oh, you know, I mean, I don't think it's the first famous person I met, but one that sticks in my mind, not so much like meeting, I didn't meet him after the show, but literally I was at the concert and I got called out to request a song was Jonathan Richman when I was like 10.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, Jason, Zach, myself, and our uncle, Tracy, mm-hmm. Who's like a good friend of my dad's, not really a biological uncle.
Sure.
Went to a concert and he was playing a lot of songs. And like I had listened to stuff through Jason, but I really listened to more of the sort of stuff that feels like almost like kids' songs.
Yeah, yeah. No, definitely. He definitely went down that road.
Yeah.
At a point. And what song did he?
So I had been spending the entire show sort of like I was a little kid. I was upset that I didn't know any of the songs because like a lot of the stuff was like his like actual music, like
yeah.
stuff that they liked. Because my brothers are 7 to 9 years older than I am. So there's a bit of a difference there.
Mm-hmm.
But then at one point he's like, oh, I love seeing the younger generations in the audience. And he literally looks at me and he says, do you want a song? And I'm like, I'm a little dinosaur.
Uh-huh.
Which is like, it's like a typical, like, it's very on that same brand. And he literally played it.
He's like, from my request. I'm a little dinosaur. It's for you, Harry. I'm a little dinosaur.
See, I think that's one that sticks out in my mind.
That's awesome. That's cool.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate, available now.
All right, here we go. The moment we got our fish sandwich. It has tomato and cheese, not particularly melty with the cheese, lettuce, tomato, and a slice of American cheese.
Yeah.
All right, and it's on the King's Hawaiian buns, which are a little sweet.
Yeah.
Comparatively.
Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like blown away by it.
Okay.
I think it's a little crispier than the Filet-O-Fish, but I don't think there's like, the sauce is almost like flavorless.
Hmm.
It just tastes sort of like nothing.
Okay.
Like, let me take another bite.
Yeah. I think it's,
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's like whitefish is not really the most powerful sort of fish flavor, but like the tartar sauce, I'm not really getting much from it.
No, it's got a little, look, I can, the sweetness of the bun for the Hawaiian bun is definitely there. You get that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's, it's nice.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a little, it's definitely bigger than the McDonald's.
Oh, yeah.
Probably twice the size.
Yeah, I mean, and you're paid for it. You pay for the size because that meal combo was, at a certain point, fast food was like, it's supposed to be fast and cheap and not always like good. Like, you either have fast, cheap, or good, two of them of the three.
No, the cheap part went out the window a while ago with fast food. It's just fast food that it's like you'd still spend $30 without blinking.
Yeah. I don't know if I see the appeal of the King's Hawaiian bun.
Okay.
I mean, I think it worked in other applications, but this is mm-hmm. kind of just like, it seems a little gimmicky.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is it adding that would make this sandwich better? I'm like, I don't know if I needed a sweet bun. Like, the softness is good.
I might like it a little more than you.
Yeah.
But it's, no, I like this one. Okay. I like the sandwich. It's kind of like, it's definitely messier.
Yeah.
The cheese is not doing a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
The tomatoes are good. I like tomato on
them. Yeah.
Keeps it from being dry.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think the Filet-O-Fish, you gave it 4, and I gave it 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
Out of 5, what would you give this?
Well, we can rate it. I just wanted to ask you about, like, some people are prone to anger in situations, and other people are prone to sadness mm-hmm. in situations. I'm definitely... Sadness is much more. I know people might think on the show if I'm mad at this, like I'm mad at this, mad at that.
Mm-hmm.
But in real life, I say I more readily go to sadness.
Okay.
For myself, how about you?
Yeah, I think it's a mix. I think definitely when I was like high school, college age, it was more anger.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had a bit of a short temper. And I think over the last like 10 or 12 years, I think I've really tried to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like my friends in college would like sort of poke the bear and try to like mess with me to get me to like just be mad and you know.
Because they knew that they could wind you up a little bit?
Yeah, basically. So like, you know, not the most fun thing to look back on. But in some respect, I think... It almost helped me see it from the other side and realize that I needed to sort of pull back and realize that I shouldn't take myself so seriously.
Sure. Do you think that's what it came out of? Because I would say my sadness comes out of more if things aren't going right
yeah.
or things in my life, people in my life are having a hard time or I'm having a hard time. I think I just inherently... round up to just be like, well, life is unfair and
yeah.
life and just like life is inherently bad, and then I would just get sad mm-hmm. from that. Sad that the world isn't the way I hoped it would be.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And
I get that.
But anger, I just honestly my family was really not a family that got angry. My family would get sad.
Okay.
Like it was like that's how we reacted to a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And so yeah, anger was kind of not on the table for me as an option when growing up. It's only something that I have kind of gotten in touch with over time that it's a valid reaction to certain things.
Yeah.
You're allowed to get angry.
Yeah.
Just like sadness is a valid reaction to other things.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of is that getting that balance right and being like not going too far either way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, is anger something that in your family, is that more acceptable for people to get angry, or were you kind of an exception in the family?
I mean, I think it was sort of like an often thing, like, you know, like if a thing broke. Like if someone broke something or like lost something or,
mm-hmm.
you know, something like happened financially that like messed stuff up, there was a sense of anger and, you know, you have to like, there were a lot of times where I would have to just sort of realize, you know, sorry, I'm trying to think of the right words to say.
Sure.
I think it was almost like it became a thing where I'm like, if I wasn't the one being angry, I would have to make sure that I wasn't angering the people around me.
Okay. So to speak. Yeah, yeah, like, that makes sense. So it's like kind of what we were talking about last time, where you don't want to. It's like, I mean, look, for me, I can only speak for myself. It's like, ultimately, when you have emotions that are too extreme, then I'm putting myself first in a strange way.
Yeah.
And that was not really possible for me, because there were bigger problems. It's mm-hmm. like saying, hey, my problems, pay attention to my problems. But that wasn't how I was always like, no, don't pay attention to my problems. I'll fix them. I'll straighten out, and then I'll try to fix your problems. But, yeah, it's just hard when the things I was allowed to access, really, anger was just, I think my family equated anger with like more like rage. Like there was like no middle ground between, hey, I'm allowed to be a little pissed at this or a little mad.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I hate you. It doesn't mean I'm out of control with my temper. I'm just allowed to express that I'm mad right yeah. now. And that was, my family did not have a healthy balance with that.
Okay.
So, but yeah, sadness was very acceptable.
Okay.
Very easy to just be like, oh, I'm sad. I'm going to blame myself, or I'm sad that the world sucks and it's nothing you can do about it. And, yeah. So with you, you're trying not to put it on other people.
Yeah.
Like where does sadness enter any of this for you? Is it something you, when you started to get in touch with, oh man, I can't get as angry as I get, did sadness enter more? Like the idea, like, well, maybe I can be more reflective, and I don't even mean in the most extreme way of like depression and stuff, but just the idea like, no, this doesn't have to just be fist clenched anger. Yeah. If there's a problem, like,
yeah,
you feel different emotions.
I think being in therapy when I started a couple years ago really helped, because mm-hmm. like I would get frustrated at like things, whether it was like work related or what have you. I'm just like, I would try to do something so much, and then it wouldn't, like the outcome wouldn't work out, or something unexpected would happen, and I would blame myself constantly. Where one of the greatest things my previous therapist taught me was just the phrase, sometimes it's just out of your control. And like, I had to just sort of roll with the punches on that, where it's like the situation sure. where like, say like, yeah, like someone has to like miss a thing, and then you don't meet a deadline. It's like, I did everything I could. Something unexpected happened. There's not a whole lot I could do. I can't just sit there and be mad about it. I have to realize that I did all I could.
And there are sometimes just circumstances or forces at work that just make it so things don't go the way you wanted them to.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's hard. Like, were you like a angry kid? Like as a kid, did you, like, I really wasn't, even as a kid, I was not like the kid in a store who would scream and throw yeah. a temper tantrum. It's just like, I was always trying to be, well, I don't want to be that kid.
Yeah.
I want to be well behaved. And then I think part of what happens with that is you kind of get, people think you can handle more than you can because yeah. you're not acting like a little kid. And then they think you're a little adult, but you're still a kid.
Yeah.
And I would get stuff maybe put on my plate or enter into my worldview sooner than I should have, in terms of, oh, he can handle it, he's mature. But it's just, when you're little, you're little.
Yeah.
Were you that kind of kid? Were you like, do you remember like flipping out in stores and stuff like that?
No, not at all. I think it stems from having two older brothers, where it's like sort of seeing their example and not being mm-hmm. like, by the time I was like enough of a kid to like know what a temper tantrum was, I was like, there was nothing like my frame of reference is, oh, they're not doing it. They're like, mm-hmm. they have their shit together because they're older. They've been through this. So I don't know what they were like when they were little, obviously, but because I wasn't around for it, but mm-hmm. yeah, I think there are definitely many times where I think to myself, like, not like in like a weird sort of like, like elitist way, but I feel like almost like sometimes my brain felt like because of having older brothers, I wanted to act older than I always was.
Sure, because the age gap was pretty pronounced.
Yeah.
7 years with Zach and 9 with Jason.
Yeah. So
it's like it's almost like you get closer to like that older cousin dynamic in age-wise at least.
Yeah, yeah.
So you wanted to, like, if you acted more mature, then maybe you could hang with your older your brothers who were definitely older than you.
Yeah, because they were, like, when I was, like, a little kid, they were in their, like, late teens. Yeah. So it was a lot of me just sort of wanting to hang out with them and their friends and, like, hang out if they had parties at the house. Or when Jason did, like, his independent film when he was in college, like, I wanted to be as much of a part of that. But, like, you know, I was still, like, 11 or whatever. And, like, yeah, I definitely... And, you know, like the whole, like one of the funniest things that sort of like the example for our relationship was like they were able to go to like comedy shows while I would have to like stay home and like I couldn't do any of that because obviously they're like 18 or 21 and over.
And you're still stuck at home and you're hearing about these things, but you couldn't experience them.
Yeah, because they got to go with my dad to like David Bowie's 50th birthday concert at like Madison Square Garden. And of course obviously I couldn't go to that.
And meanwhile you're at home, you can't do a thing like that.
But just like I was into the stuff they liked because I wanted to be like I thought like I saw them as like these cool people, so I was like I want to do everything they do. So I liked David Bowie when I was a little kid. Like I listened to Beck by the time I was like 8 years old, and like I was watching Mr. Show episodes with them and like making references with my friends, but no one knew what I was talking about because no one my age knew Mr. Show.
No. You had this whole other source of just like learning about things that your kids your age were not going to be anywhere near learning about that stuff. But there's something really nice about that though too, that because I was the oldest kid, my sister was a year younger, so. I never got to experience. I was on my own trying to figure my path out with so much of this stuff.
Yeah,
like let me learn about music, and I'm on my own learning about it. I didn't have anybody to just say kind of like, here's some albums, check these out.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like, I'm sure that was very formative in its own way that I didn't have that guidance, and I maybe it's part of. If I have a certain confidence in terms of like the things I like or whatever, I think the confidence probably comes from that because I had to make my decisions for myself by myself early and alone that now just rubs off on me for the rest of my life where I'm just like, I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I make decisions for myself. But like, so, but you had your brothers who were playing David Bowie, they're playing Beck, you're watching Mr. Show, you're learning about all these things. Did you really like want to impress them as the youngest brother? Like, were you trying to?
I think I just wanted to be able to like relate enough because you know it's harder to relate when you're like I was like when 9 years old and Jason was 18. So like by the time I was in fifth grade, he had already moved out to go to college, and I was I want to like, and like, you know, them being closer in age, they were like, for the first chunk of my life, I think they were much closer. Like, and then like once Jason moved out, but I was still there with Zach, it became like the two of us were closer. We would play like video games, we would watch shows. Like, pretty much all the things that I'm into are because of them introducing me to it. Like,
yeah,
I wouldn't have this weird obsession with Moon Knight without Zach being like, oh, he's one of the few Jewish Marvel superheroes. Here's the action figure from Toy Biz. Here's the comics. Like, if you want to follow him, do this. And then I literally would do like checklists of getting every appearance of him.
Sure,
because he's like an accessible character because he's not super popular.
Yeah.
Like, it was a lot to just sort of make sure to relate to my brothers.
Yeah, do you think there was like you're looking for validation in there too?
Oh,
like
constantly.
Like, just like I want them to think, no, I get it. I want them to think I'm cool and that. And, like, maybe I'll show them something they don't know about.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. And, I mean, one of the funniest, I mean, not funniest, but it was almost the thing that comes, that circles back to literally us sitting in this car doing this podcast, was Jason in like 2003 getting me into the Best Show.
Sure.
So I was turning 14 and listening to the show. Like most of the fan base at the time were like, you know, in their 20s and 30s.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And people like, you know, people who are like my age now. Mm-hmm. And then like, but I was this like teenage kid listening to these calls and just having my mind blown. Like just some of those calls on those first CDs were. When it was that era of just like where no one really knew who John Worster was.
Yeah. No, that was, it was a fun thing because there was a mystery to the whole thing kind of in a way where, it, first of all, people didn't know who John was. People didn't know who I was at that point. They really didn't. And I could say things and people were still figuring it out, trying to see what's real, what's not real. So it's kind of exciting. And I always loved when like a kid, would it's my favorite part of the show is when kids are into it and and then they it just keeps the whole thing from just playing to like the same people, like indie rock cool people, because like, it's more interesting. So, well, that look, I'm always flattered that you were a part of the, like that you grew up with the show, and that's like, and you just as somebody seeing you get older and like, when did we first meet? I'm trying to think when we would have first met, Harry.
So
like,
I think the first time we met in person was, I think, when I co-hosted.
Probably, you probably came, because you would call in.
So, you know, actually it wasn't, so co-hosting I think happened in August of 2008, we met at Jason's wedding, his first wedding.
Yes.
Which would have been in, April or, it would have been early April 2008.
Okay.
Yeah, so we met at his wedding in New York. That was the first time I met you, but I had talked to you before then just by calling into the show.
Yes.
Like, first call was right after my birthday in 2005, because I had just seen Anchorman. Jason got me the Gorch shirt.
Okay.
And you and John signed it. I have it in my apartment currently.
Wow.
It's unfortunately I never got to like fully wear it because Jason got me like a medium and I think I was at like a larger XL by that point, but
I'll,
I still
I'll
have
see what
it
I can do about that.
But yeah, I mm-hmm. called in not knowing the unspoken code of of the FMU life. So I had like called in. I was nervous. I thanked you for the shirt, and you're like, no, I can't talk about that. I can't talk about that.
Well, I couldn't talk. I couldn't talk about any commercial part of anything. It's like, if I'm selling the shirts, that's considered you're marketing something on a not-for-profit station.
Yeah.
That's like one of the big no-nos. And of course, you're a kid. You're not, you don't know that.
But yeah, thankfully you turned the conversation around and we talked about my birthday and I did my impression of Will Ferrell in a phone booth when he's like, yeah, I'm in a glass case of emotion.
Sure. Now, what does it feel like for you now to be, you're an adult?
Yeah.
You now have, nephews.
Yeah.
Nieces. Like you have like his.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of nieces and nephews.
Jason has two sons and Zach has a son and a daughter.
Yeah. And you get to be to them.
Yeah.
What Jason and Zach were to you.
Yeah. And I'm constantly like, don't F this up. Like, try to show them cool things. Like Jason's kids are still on the younger side, so it's like, you know, their taste changes almost day to day. But you know, they're very into like pandas and like Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah.
My niece Penny, who's my goddaughter, who's like 8 now, I was home for her birthday. And obviously you know her. She's been calling into the show
a
lot.
She calls in,
amazing. She's into SpongeBob now. Like she has like she was super into Bob's for a while. So I like got to like send her
Bob's Burgers,
yeah, Bob's
which
Burgers
you work on.
And like I got to send her like stickers and, you know, she saw the movie and was singing the songs. And at one point she was like, I think she is still into it, but she was like super into Steven Universe.
Okay.
So like, because I I feel like sometimes I can be really like, I'm not good with buying gifts because I'm like, my brain only works with like a few things. It's like, what IP do you like that I could buy you a thing from?
Sure.
Or like, what art can I get you? Mm-hmm. Like, I try to expand what I do, but sometimes I get stuck in a rut. But like, one year, I think either for her birthday or like Christmas, I bought her a Steven Universe, the red shirt with the star on it. Sure. And she wears that thing constantly.
Oh, that's amazing.
So like for her, like the day of her birthday when she was going to school, she was wearing it. So I'm just like, I think I did all right.
No, that's so cool. That was one of the most fortunate things I got to be a part of, was that show, because it means so much to so many people.
Yeah.
And so many kids and so many like disenfranchised
kids. Oh yeah.
And yeah, no, it's nice when you get that. I don't know, I just feel like for me, it's like, I don't know if I'm envious or not of that you had older siblings to give you some guidance and perspective, or if I'm just happy that I found the road I found kind of on my own. I could, you know, could both ways sound good.
Yeah.
Unless you try to figure your stuff out and then you don't figure good stuff out.
Like, yeah.
It's like, I figured all my stuff out and I like the Dave Matthews Band.
Yeah.
Would be not be like, well, maybe you need some help then. Like, what are there things that you like your relationship now? I'm not pressing for you to say anything about their personal lives or whatever, but it's just like from your perspective.
Yeah.
It must feel nice to be who you are. As an adult, that you work in the entertainment industry and you, you've kind of carved your own path and you do like you've made your own reputation and you got the Bob's Burgers job because you're you.
Yeah. I think sometimes, you know, the sibling thing, I mean, they taught me so much, but sometimes I think my personality made it so that it's harder for me to make my own decisions because I feel like I was so influenced by other people liking a thing and then introducing me to it that there's sometimes where I'm like, do I want to like watch this show or do I want to like listen to this like musician or do I want to go do this thing or eat this thing, or is it influenced by someone else?
Sure, like you're not sure. Is it like, okay, where do I start and where do they stop? Like
sometimes,
that kind of
yeah,
thing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are there things that you are just like, they like this, I do not like that. I'm my own person, or I like this and they don't like that.
I think in my older years, I've definitely like realized that stuff. Like when I go to the Coachella Music Festival every year with my wife, and you know, my music taste is very much like sort of like, like indie rock and like some popular stuff, but like there's a tent there that feels like a cool like indie rock club where there's no big screens. It's like there's cool like paintings on the walls and and the bands are usually sort of more my vibe. Like a lot, it's similar to a lot of the stuff that, like, you play on your show.
Sure. Like, whereas, who are you looking forward to? You're gonna go this year?
Yeah, we're going the second weekend. I'm trying to think of anyone specifically. I mean, a lot of like the bigger names that I want to see, but that's like on the big stages. But I'll kind of just like,
well, like who? Look, if you don't remember, you don't. But is anybody,
I don't necessarily know like some of the smaller names, but like people who are going to be there, like Blondie and Bjork.
Sure.
Which is just like it's almost like a curveball. I'm surprised that they're going to be there, but you know, Bad Bunny's going to be there, which is like an act that like I found through my wife that I don't think I would have gone and found on my own. But like,
sure,
his music is fun and like very danceable. But yeah, it's like, yeah, I think that's something that was.
Well, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
And that's your own thing.
Yeah.
That's you and your wife have your own thing that isn't that you go with the whole. It's not like you go with your brothers or whatever.
Yeah.
You do that on your own and that's your thing. Do you I don't know. And we can cut this out if you don't want to. Do you want to? Are kids something you?
Oh, yeah.
You think about?
Yeah, we're sort of planning for that to start a family within the next like year or so.
Okay.
I think two kids is sort of the max we want to have right now, just because it's not easy to raise a family of more than two kids in this city, unfortunately. And also, I think just for our own sakes, I think two is sort of the the limit.
That's a lot to juggle. And like seeing you see your brothers with kids, and that must that makes you want kids.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I love being an uncle, but yeah, I would also love to have our own kids.
Yeah. No, I just I don't think kids are in my in the cards for me.
I get it. You know,
they were at one point.
Okay.
I wanted it badly, and then I would say at this point, I just need to kind of I'm comfortable with focusing on me and Julia, and we kind of we take care of dogs.
Yeah,
I think it's like, and I know nobody's gonna say like when people are like, oh, it's a kid's different than a dog, it's like, yeah, I didn't know that. I'm fully aware of that. Like when people think they're educated, like it's like, you think a kid's the same as a dog, it's like, no, I don't. I know I can. You can't just leave a kid home and go to the movies and come back. But no, it's like I found my own level of comfort and where my life is. And, you know, it hurts sometimes to see kids. But other times it's just like, you know, look, you are where you are. And that's, you know, you play the hand you're dealt in life. So this fish sandwich, what are you thinking with that? Well, how would you review the...
I think it was fine.
Well, let's go element by element. So the fish itself.
The fish, like, it tasted like a better quality, but it didn't really taste like anything. It was a very just like, there should be some stuff around the fish that sort of has a more intense flavor to make up for the fact that whitefish is sort of very plain.
Yeah, it seems like it's almost like tofu in a way where it takes on whatever the other elements are, the seasonings or the like the trappings like that. I would agree with you on that. The fish is not didn't blow me out of the water. I did like, look, overall I like the sandwich.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more than you do, because I think I might like fish sandwiches a little more than you do. So the fillet itself, what would you give it on a 1 to 5?
I think I would put it at like a 3.
Yeah, I'd probably go 3.5.
Yeah.
How about the bun?
I think, like, the actual bun was, like, a good softness, like, in contrast to the sort of crispier fish.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't like, fall apart at all, so it held up. But I think I'm not super into the... I like Kings Hawaiian buns. I've had them on other things. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if it served this particular sandwich as well as it could have.
So would you, on a 1 to 5, what would you give that?
I think I would give that like a 3 also.
Just a 3, okay.
Keep it simple.
Yeah, I'd probably do 3 for the bun too. I like the little hit of sweetness, but it wasn't enough to justify it being this option that they seem pretty proud of.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd go 3 with the bun also. How about the everything else? The lettuce, the tomato, the
tartar sauce. Nice to have that extra stuff. The tartar sauce, I was expecting it to have more of a flavor, but it kind of just tasted like a wet condiment. Mm-hmm. I was honestly surprised that the McDonald's one had more of an interesting taste.
Mm-hmm. So 1 to 5 rating.
I think overall, I just give the whole sandwich a 3. I think
3.
I think it's kind of just right in the upper middle.
Sure. Yeah, I'm going to go 3.5 on it.
Yeah.
But generally, I think we're on the same page with it, where it's not. It wasn't some the things I liked about it, and when you try some of these other fish sandwiches, I think you're going to realize it. It was not dry.
Yeah.
But it also, it was not dry, but it also managed to not fall apart.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm not going to name names, but there's a couple sandwiches coming that I think you're going to realize are messier than they should be.
Okay.
So that'll be something you'll when you try some of the other ones, when we make other stops, you'll see some of them are just like wet.
Yeah.
And just too much. Like they just fall apart.
Okay.
But that's on the whole, I think we're on the same page with this.
Yeah.
So, and we did Arby's this time instead of Burger King. So next time we'll, unless circumstances change, we'll do Burger King.
Okay.
And thanks everybody for listening to episode 2 of Ahoy. We have, on behalf of my co-host Harry Wallner, I will say thank you for listening and goodbye.
See ya.
The Best Show is produced in partnership with the Forever Dog Podcast Network. The show is hosted by Tom Sharpling and features John Worster, Michael Lisk, Jason Gore, and Pat Byrne. The show is produced and written by Jason Gore, Pat Byrne, Michael Lisk, Brett Davis, John Worster, and Tom Sharpling. The Best Show is executive produced by Tom Sharpling, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Co-executive produced by Jason Gore and Pat Byrne, segment producer Michael Lisk. The show is engineered and mastered by Andrew Gleason and Wesley Knapp. Graphic design, video editing, and social media by Brett Davis. Website and technical support by Martine Sellis. And the show is recorded at Forever Dog Studios in Los Angeles. Support The Best Show on Patreon over at patreon.com/thebestshow. And follow us on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Best Show for Life. That's Best Show 4 Life. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.